Welcome. You are listening to AfterSight. This recording is intended solely for individuals who are blind or have low vision.
Thank you for joining us for Hobby Radio, read by Keith, amateur radio operator W0NX, featuring the October 2025 The Spectrum Monitor. We'll begin by continuing the Shortwave Listener by Fred Waterer, Halloween Shortwave Programming. A few years ago, if I recall correctly, WRMI may have aired the 1938 broadcast. Spinning the radio dial on the 30th will no doubt turn up a few stations recreating that bit of radio history. Radio Romania International may or may not mention Halloween in passing. My impression is that they are pretty much over the whole Vlad Dracul thing. Nevertheless, they have aired programs in the past about the Vlad myth and how an Englishman turned him into a vampire centuries after his death. Your radio will often be filled with programming for Halloween, from old radio shows to catchy novelty tunes only heard at this time of year. One annual tradition I enjoy is to listen to Michael Godin's annual Halloween Spooktacular on his Treasure Island Oldies show, this year on October 26th. It is 4 hours of really fun Halloween novelty tunes. His show normally starts at 9 p.m. Eastern, 0100 UTC, but as a bonus, his stream will start at 6 p.m. Eastern this one time. He plays both the 1938 radio program and also Jeff Wayne's musical version right after. It is a great night of radio. Listen at treasureislandoldies.ca. Michael's show was once heard on shortwave in the early 1990s. In another shortwave connection, Michael's show is heard via WTND.org. WTND in Macomb, Illinois, is the home of Tom and Daryl, who hosted the long-running Tom and Daryl show on WBCQ. Between the two of them and Michael, they have an incredible knowledge of music. REE, Spain. Last month, between the time I wrote the column and the time it was published, Radio Exterior de España decided to blow up its schedule. Sadly, these radio stations do not coordinate their changes with me. Alas, a radio columnist can dream. After about 2 weeks or so of confusion, it appears that a new weekly schedule has been introduced. Thanks to a tip from John Filiazzi, my predecessor as editor of this column, a few iterations back, noted REE in English on Wednesdays on 17,715 kHz. John heard the 1 hour broadcast at 22:39 UTC, so tune in around that time, presumably starting at 2200 UTC. As mentioned, English is now once a week as opposed to the former 30-minute shows on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. The first new iteration of REE's English service debuted on September 10th, as noted by John. It is now archived online as well. The first new program was hosted by Marilyn Quintana and featured quite a lengthy news broadcast. Feature programs included an interesting discussion about preventing infant mortality. In an interesting twist, REE added Chinese language programming as well, thanks to a tip from @WellTempFanger, a.k.a. SWL on Blue Sky. Chinese can be heard on Mondays at 20:30 UTC. It can be heard following the Ladino Sephardi broadcast. Try 17,715 and 15,390 kHz. When Brother Stair pulled his programming from shortwave, it left a big hole in many broadcast schedules. Recently, WRMI seems to have filled this hole with programming from the World Radio Network. This will enable one to hear many countries that had been gone from short wave for a long time, in some cases many years. Polish radio, Deutsche Welle, RTE in Ireland, Radio Japan, Israel Radio, KBS World Radio. With recent events in Eastern Europe and the Middle East, this seems like a very timely opportunity to hear English language programming from these areas. I'm not sure how long this arrangement is going to last, but take advantage of it while you can. It would behoove us all to drop some of these broadcasters an email and let them know you heard them on WRMI via shortwave. One never knows if this is an attempt to find out if people are really listening. Not that long ago, I did contact the presenter of a program from Deutsche Welle, letting them know I was a longtime listener and that I listened to their program via the website WRN and CBC overnight, and how much I enjoyed it. I heard back from the presenter and the producer in very short order, and they seemed delighted. Radio stations, presenters, and TSM columnists really love to get feedback from listeners and readers. If you have a favorite program, presenter, or writer, let them know. Folks who send their creative works out into the world love to know people are listening, and it may even save a program or station. WRMI, starting Wednesday, October 1st, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, on 9,955 kHz, SJTJ, Sunny Jim's Trance Journey. A chance to share some of today's music he currently enjoys listening to. He'll be playing a selection of uplifting, melodic, well-sung, and well-crafted songs from an electronic genre. If this is new to you, don't be alarmed. Why not join him, Sunny Jim, to see if he can persuade you there is more to music than the songs we already know. BBC World Service Programming. Assignment. Denmark is eyeing up the military threat from Russia and dramatically increasing the numbers in its national service. Now, 18-year-old girls are facing a call-up. The BBC has been granted rare access to a military base on the outskirts of Copenhagen to see the newest recruits learn how to operate on the battlefield. Anna Holligan attends a Defenses Day, where teenagers find out whether they're fit to serve and draw a conscription lottery ticket that could shape their future. Tuesday, September 23rd, 09:30. Witness history. In the 1950s, Betty Graham, a secretary from Texas, was struggling to cope with her new electric typewriter. "My fingers would hang heavy on the sensitive keyboard, and the first thing I'd know, I'd have a mistake with a deposit of carbon, which I simply couldn't erase," she said. A budding artist, she wondered if there was a way she could paint over her typos. At home in her kitchen, the single mom cooked up the first correcting fluid. It was a hit with other secretaries, and by 1973, Betty had turned her creation into a multi-million-dollar business. Betty died in 1980. Vicky Farncombe tells her story using archive from University of North Texas Special Collections. Thursday, September 25th, 08:50 UTC. The Conversation. Ella Al-Shamahi talks to two women from South Africa and Germany about reclaiming the craft of brewing beer, which was historically the domain of women. Apiwe Nksui Malaya is a brewmaster and the first black female co-owner of a craft brewery in South Africa. Her award-winning range of Tolokazi beers pays homage to the female brewers of Africa, inspired by the Tolo Kingdom's rich brewing history, and celebrates ingredients unique to the African continent, such as marula fruit and the rooibos bush. Apiwe regularly trains graduates, most of them women, in the art of beer making at her brewing facility in Johannesburg. She is also an international beer judge and taster. Ulrika Gens is the brewmaster at Schneelul Brewery in Berlin, which she founded in 2016 after years of developing a recipe through scientific study of the Berliner Weisse, a beer that had its heyday in the middle of the 19th century. Once celebrated far beyond Berlin's borders as the Champagne of the North, the beer is now, according to Ulrike, a barely drinkable mass-produced industrial beer. Schneel Brewery's mission is to give Berlin a piece of its culture back, served, of course, in the correct glass. Monday, September 29th, 1330 UTC. Witness history. In 1985, Microsoft introduced Excel, an electronic spreadsheet program that revolutionized the way we organize and analyze data. With its grid of rows and columns, it allows users to sort information, do calculations, and make charts with ease. Today, it is used worldwide. Spreadsheets might have a reputation for being dull, but this story features space tourists, knitting, and crazy competitions. Mike Koss, an American software developer who played a key role in Excel's creation, shares his fascinating story. Tuesday, September 30th, 0850 UTC. Assignment. Haiti and the Dominican Republic may share the same island in the Caribbean, but their people's lives are worlds apart. While Haiti is an endless cycle of violence and poverty, on the eastern side of the shared island, the tourism industry and other economic activities are booming. Thousands of Haitian immigrants are helping construct new all-inclusive hotel complexes and doing the low-paid jobs Dominicans don't want to do. But even though their labor is an important part of the economy, President Luis Abinader has promised to deport 10,000 undocumented migrants a week to combat what he believes is uncontrolled migration that threatens the integrity of his nation. Some of those being sent back across the border are vulnerable, and others have lived and worked in the country for years and raised families there. John Murphy travels to the Dominican Republic to talk to Haitian immigrants, Dominicans, and the wider Haitian-Dominican community about their hopes and fears. Tuesday, September 30th, 0930 UTC. And now Radio 101 by Ken Reitz, KS4ZR, KS4ZR numeral 1 at gmail.com. Next Gen TV's Big Black Eye. A pair of images on this page shows at the top a program description on a Fox channel. It's an image of a TV screen. And below that is another image from a TV screen showing a program description concerning college football. The caption reads, "Are you ready for some football? Better sign up for cable or satellite TV where local TV stations are included in your programming package. On OTA TV, if you're watching via AntennaMan's ATSC 1.0 OTA TV signal meter, top photo, no problem. But you'll only see 1080 or 720 resolution at best, not 4K ATSC 3.0. If you're watching the same station via Zinwell's ATSC 3.0 Next Gen TV 4K converter, photo above, it's even worse. No signal at all, because this channel is encrypted. The same goes for a Sony ATSC 3.0 4K capable TV set. KS4ZR photo." Another image on this page shows a listing of channels, the call sign for those channels, their video resolution, their network affiliation, nickname. The caption reads, "My local network TV stations, as mapped out on rabbitears.info, shows that CBS, NBC, and CW, in ATSC 3.0 4K format, are encrypted, yellow padlocks, and therefore show up as no signal on an ATSC 3.0 TV set and ATSC 3.0 converter box. Fox is not encrypted but displays on a 4K-capable TV set at an eye-wearying 720 resolution. Courtesy, rabbitears.info." Back to the text. Internet streaming has done a lot to change the way we think about radio and TV. For decades, AM radio listeners were bound by the laws of physics, where the signals from distant transmitters were prohibited from hitting our receivers because the sun's daytime energy wouldn't let those signals go much beyond ground wave. At night, we might have a chance to receive those distant signals, but again, we were limited by the laws of physics and FCC rules, forcing stations to protect other stations across the country on the same frequency by the use of directional antenna arrays. Even super-sensitive receivers, coupled to super-sized antennas, can't snare West Coast stations at my location, except under the most extraordinary conditions. FM listeners were similarly hamstrung, unless you basically had line of sight to the transmitting antenna, you couldn't receive the signal. But with internet radio, tens of thousands of AM and FM stations normally beyond my receiver's reach, including those elusive West Coast stations, come through crystal clear, no fading, no static, a big plus when listening to AM stations, no adjacent channel interference, and no daylight-nighttime limitations. It's a radio listener's paradise, though purists will grumble that it's not really radio. Oddly, standalone internet radios have largely disappeared. Did the purists win, forcing those nasty internet radios off the market? No, something else happened, but it wasn't because people didn't want to listen to radio via the internet. Online streaming of audio services, not just AM or FM stations, became easier, less costly, and not subject to external forces. One of those external forces was the abandonment of servers used by companies to connect their internet radios to the web, thereby rendering those radios useless. Thanks a heap, Squeezebox. But apps such as MyTuner, iHeartRadio, and many more allow live streaming of those tens of thousands of stations through various mobile devices, including smartphones, smart speakers, as well as Roku and Amazon Fire Stick devices. Load the free app on your device. Find your favorite stations, add them to your favorites list, and start listening. It couldn't be easier or cheaper, provided, of course, that you have access to moderately high-speed internet and a whole house router, not a minor requirement in some locations around the U.S. Time eventually catches up with electronic technology. Try watching TV on a perfectly functioning pre-2009 analog NTSC TV set today. Without an ATSC 1.0 converter, there's nothing to see. Okay, you can, if it's hooked into your cable TV or satellite TV box, via a channel 3/4 modulator. An image on this page shows a startup screen on a next-gen TV. The text reads, "Next Gen Live TV Launcher." The caption reads, "Next Gen TV sets such as the Sony Bravia 43-inch TV, like most smart TVs today, are actually a type of computer, and have to have their software updated via a connection to the web through your home wireless router. Attached to the TV is the Zinwell ATSC 3.0 converter, which is also a type of computer that also has to be updated. Here, the Sony Bravia Next Gen TV is updating the Zinwell Next Gen TV launcher. But what will the Sony TV think about this situation? KS4ZR photo. Another image on this page shows a TV screenshot. There's a menu on display concerning the installation of unknown apps. The caption reads, "Once your converter is updated, you're faced with some scary decisions. These sets work via third-party apps that are installed on your TV and provide a nearly mystical viewing experience. But who do you trust?" The TV warns, "Your device and personal data are more vulnerable to attack by apps from unknown sources. You agree that you are solely responsible for any damage to your device or loss of data that may result from using these apps." Wait, what? Yikes. Where's that number for Dish Network? KS4ZR photo. Another image on this page shows a TV screenshot with an electronic program guide. The caption reads, "The electronic program guide on the Zinwell ATSC 3.0 4K converter helpfully lists four of Richmond's next-gen TV channels, even showing the next-gen logo next to the channel, indicating that the device knows these are the latest and greatest in free OTA TV. Except there's a problem. There's no actual guide information, and that's because those channels are encrypted, and there's no way to watch these channels on this device because there's no path to signing up. Is there even a path to do so in the future? We don't know. These channels, including tennis and pickleball channels, if you can believe it, that can be received in lower ATSC 1.0 format on the AntennaMan OTA TV signal meter, which at this writing is still only $50, though you'll have to pay for shipping." KS4ZR photo. Back to the text. The promise of ATSC 1.0, as our digital OTA TV standard is called, was to give the viewer 1080 high-definition video, Dolby surround sound audio, a 16:9 aspect ratio, the movie screen standard, and auxiliary channels, specializing in old-time TV shows, shopping channels, weather, or news, for example, all free. Viewers in large metro areas boast of more than 100 over-the-air channels, even audio services. As time went on, ATSC 1.0 sets morphed into what are called smart TV sets, which have the ability through Wi-Fi connectivity to stream video content via the web using pay services such as Netflix, Disney Plus, and dozens more, many of which are free of charge but ad-supported. There are about 125 million households, 97%, in the U.S. that have a TV set. TV analysts are cagey about how many OTA TV-only households there are in the U.S. today. But Nielsen, the media survey company, puts that number at about 18.5 million in 2024. We'll continue this article next time. Thank you for joining us for Hobby Radio, read by Keith.
If you enjoyed this program, please register for our free services at www.aftersight.org or by calling 303-786-7777.